Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Linda Feinholz, founder of the Breakthrough Academy at BreakthroughByDesign.com, coming to you as I do each week at noon Eastern on Blog Talk Radio on the Breakthrough Directions radio show. Our co-host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, will be joining us shortly. And I am so delighted to be bringing you an amazing guest that we have with us this week. As you know, I'm passionate about bringing you not only entrepreneurs, people who have taken their passion, their expertise, and turned it into really viable and very lucrative businesses, but I particularly love when I can bring multipreneurs, people who have multiple interests, and figure out how to harmonize all of them into a life that is anchored by their interests, their passions, their expertise. And I'm so delighted to be able to bring you Erin Stutland, who's done exactly that. For those of you who aren't familiar with Erin, she's a life and fitness coach and the creator of what's already recognized in Glamour Magazine and Crunch Fitness as a featured mind-body workout shrink session developer. We're going to hear all about that today. It's all about how you use your body, expand your mind. And the online goal-setting course, Magical Manifestors, that she's created, which is all about less hustle and more flow. Those are so juicy. As somebody who has to force herself to get up every morning and make it regular to go to the gym, I just love the whole tone of that, Erin. So a little bit more about Erin before we dive in. She is a former professional dancer turned actress, and many of you will recognize her face because she starred on The Sopranos, Chappelle's Show, Sex and the City, As the World Turns, and more. And she's really figured out how to combine her love for movement and spirituality and self-development and creativity into a coaching and fitness business that helps people create movement in their bodies and movement in their lives. So welcome aboard, Erin.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So, okay, I know there are people who are saying, okay, were there favorite episodes that you were on that, you know, you yourself like to go back and say, yeah, it wasn't bad. Did good on that one.
Well, I mean, they were all, you know, everything that I did was such a big accomplishment. You know, when you're an actor and you're out there, you know, putting yourself out there and auditioning, you're just so thrilled with every single job that you get. So, I think the most exciting one for me was, you know, my first speaking role, the way that I got my SAG card was on Sex and the City. And that was such a big deal because, you know, I had just started auditioning and, you know, I got to have this very small part, but it was a scene with all four of the girls. And when you were like a young woman in New York City, that was like the show. So, Yeah, so that was, you know, that was like my first, you know, big job. So I just remember when they all four walked onto set, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, you're trying to be cool, but inside you're freaking out. So that was really exciting. And then, you know, it was all upwards from there.
Oh, of course, of course. So I have a question for you. I know that you now have a real knack for inspiring a room full of people who might not normally like to move, to sweat, you know, like it's really their job to get out there and do it. And what is it that you've carried over from your dance and your acting and your performing side that helps you change the energy and inspire people?
Well, I think, you know, as a dancer, you are, you know, you're not, when you are in a room and you're going to dance class and you're learning how to dance, move your body, it's so much more than, it's not about burning calories, it's not about getting fit, it's about having expression. You know, you have to bring the artistry into dance. And so when I was in college, when I was a senior in college and I was studying dance, I started teaching some non-majors dance classes. And, you know, these are people who didn't have technique. They were kind of just doing it for the credit. They wanted to do something fun and something different. And I realized, like, you know, I realized the objective for that should really be about getting them to experience the joy of moving their bodies in new ways. And it was so fun because I would, you know, I would take them across the room in these combinations, and I was like, you know, don't worry about doing it right, and just, you know, feel the, like, air in your hair and jump. And it was so fun to watch them smile and enjoy it. And I think that's really what I've done with Shrink Session, and that's what I try to do, is I try to really make it clear that this is not about doing it right. It's not about getting it perfect. It's not about, you know, burning calories. It's not about changing your body. It's simply about finding a little bit of joy inside your own body and the joy of movement, because that's what we're really all designed to do is move, you know.
It took me back to my high school days when I signed up for dance classes, and among the people in that dance class were people who were literally on the dance squad. And I remember to this day sitting there trying my darndest to get anything that was an approximation of a split accomplished with my body as they were all going all the way down. And it really left a flavor in your mouth of like, well, if I can't do this, you know, I can't do anything else either. And back, would that they had said, it's all about just stretching so that you're loose enough for your body, rather than we're aiming to get the splits as low as we can, you know?
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think that's, you know, that's a big thing with people, that they have these experiences when they're younger, you know, whether it's your high school experience that you just described, or, you know, that time in gym class that they weren't picked for the team, and it became a very all or nothing thing. And they identified with like, okay, I'm an athlete, I'm not a dancer, I'm not coordinated or whatever it may be. And so as they get older, it becomes, you know, fearful. They become fearful about stepping into the gym and trying something new. And I don't think it doesn't have to be that way, because you're right, it's not about getting down into the splits. It's about like, okay, how can you experience a little bit more of the, your own edge and your stretch or whatever it is that you're doing. So that's a really great example. I think that's quite common with people.
Yeah. And there's another thing I've been reflecting about that I think is really worth bringing into today's conversation. I think it's important to this whole notion that we all have many parts to our personality and ourselves. And so in the same way that as you're in dance rehearsal or you're rehearsing your lines, that's different than being on camera and being in that particular role. And that in turn is different than being at the front of the room, being the instructor and inspirer. These are different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in our society, we're very used to saying, well, of course actors change roles. And yet when you're running a business, it's the same thing. You know, there's a time when you're out networking and you're trying to present yourself in a certain fashion versus when you're running the business and you're in a management or leadership role with that persona to bring on and so on.
Yeah.
When you think about and you know, as I'm musing, I'm thinking out loud here. In some sense, you get to play with twice as many roles as the rest of us, because you've got the actor training for all the arenas you want to use that, and then you're also designing and marketing and running a business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of different roles. It's a lot of different hats to wear, and I think that's you know, I think that's challenging for anyone, frankly. I think it's a challenging thing for actors who, you know, are these, you know, open vessels of creativity and sensitivity, and then they have to go and market themselves as, you know, as actors in the world. I think they struggle with that. So I think, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs have a similar struggle, because, you know, most of us who are passionate about whether, you know, whatever your craft is, you know, whether it's coaching or teaching fitness or whatever it is you're doing, you know, you're really passionate about that thing. And so to then turn on and put on another hat and become a marketer can be really challenging. But I think, you know, the biggest thing that I've sort of discovered is that I think a lot of times we think about them as two very different things. Like, okay, I'm the artist, I'm the creator, I'm the craftsman, and now I'm the marketer. But I think a lot of times we separate them, we think about them differently. But really, the person, you know, that creativity that you put into your craft is really truly the same creativity that you can put into your marketing. It shouldn't feel that different. Like, I think a lot of times, you know, I'm sure you experience this, Linda, when you're really in the zone and you're doing your thing and you're on the call with these people and you're putting out this great content, you just feel so alive and so connected.
Absolutely.
If you can, I think, tap into that same connection when you're doing the marketing, the stuff that feels a little bit more left-brained, a little bit more logical, a little bit more systematic. But if you can try to find that same flow that you find when you're doing that thing that you love, you're going to find great success. And it's not impossible. It's quite doable.
So what was your journey from being the professional actor dancer into business? What was that journey that you took?
Well, so I was bouncing back and forth between New York and LA, and I was auditioning, and I was doing theater and commercial and film and getting like lots of little things. But as many artists experience, you have to have some part-time work to support you. Uh-huh. And so therefore I had a million different jobs throughout the course of my 20s in particular, doing anything that you could do that would support your auditioning and give you the flexibility. And probably about 5 or 6 years ago, one of the jobs that I had looked into, I had done real estate and I had bartended. I mean, I did everything under the sun that you can imagine. And so one of the jobs that I kind of started, I was like, I really should combine my love for movement and the body and dance and do it in a way that, start teaching fitness, because fitness can be flexible and, you can kind of go in, teach a class, and leave. And so I started teaching a couple fitness classes, and I was teaching at a gym, and I decided to take one of these workouts that I was doing and create a workshop, actually, for my – I had, all these friends in the community, in the performing community, and I wanted to create a workshop where we combined this real mind-body workout with some creative coaching. And the truth is, when I started, I always say that I started my business on accident, because, it was really, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. It'll be once a week. It'll be a fun way to sort of get myself out there, make some money, and serve a community that I'm really passionate about. And so I was like, before the day and age of Facebook and everyone having a website. And I just put an email together. I said, I'm going to do this workshop. It's going to be 4 weeks. We're going to do this workout. We're going to do this coaching afterwards. And I put it out there, and I had about 25 or 30 people sign up for it, that first workshop. And that was really the start of what was a business, and it kind of grew from that place of really seeing a need in the market, which I didn't even know that that's what I was doing.
Right, and it was the perfect actual market research that was happening at the same time, because you put the notice up and you waited to see, do I have any buyers? And you had 25 people who said yes, so you knew that you had some hunger in the marketplace or some curiosity that would get people to ante up, invest in it, try.
Yeah.
And so as you were continuing your market research by actually running the program and seeing people's response to it and so on, how did it grow to the next stage?
Well, in those first few stages, I always kept, and maybe this was like, the artist in me, but I felt like every stage was like, I kept it in the mindset of it being an experiment. Like, because I didn't really even know what it meant to have a business. And I was not a business person. I wasn't trained in business. So I was like, okay, well, let's do an experiment. Like, what if we try this? And so then I would put a new offering out there. Because I think as an artist, as an actor, you're always trying new things. Like, okay, what if we try the character from this angle? Or what if we try it from this angle? Or what if we write a new line, new dialogue? So for me, it was all about trying new things. And so that's what I kept doing. I kept saying, okay, well, this is going to be an experiment. And what happened was is that people from that first initial workshop were coming to me, and they were like, do you do any one-on-one coaching? Like, I really want to talk about this issue one-on-one. And so I was like, oh, I think I could charge for that, and so then I started doing some coaching. And, of course, in the beginning, like, there was a real sense, and I think this happens a lot with business owners, like, I didn't know what I was doing. But I think you have to like have a real beginner's mind and be okay, and really be okay with not really having all the answers, because especially as a coach, like you're not supposed to have all the answers. If you're a really good question asker and you're intuitive and you're a good listener, then you can really help people through any problem. So that's kind of how it started. So then I started doing some one-on-one coaching, and then from there I kept seeing themes in the one-on-one coaching that I was doing. And I was like, I think I could design a group coaching course with some of these themes and issues that keep coming up with people. So then I, you know, again, it was an experiment. That was sort of the start of Magical Manifestors. I was like, okay, what happens if I get a group of people together? And I charged like nothing for it. You know, maybe it was like $15 a session and we met for 6 weeks and it was, you know, about, I think, 8 people in that first group. And I brought in some goal setting tools and some journaling tools. And that's really how Magical Manifestors started. And then I just kept rerunning it and refining it every 6 weeks I would kind of start a new course. So that's really how it evolved. I would say the biggest thing was being willing to explore.
I love it. You know, in the Breakthrough Academy, in all of the various courses, this is an issue that keeps coming up. Actually, there's several issues that you pointed out that are so important. Number one is having the beginner's mind, the entrepreneurial mindset that's curious and exploring and not assuming that you actually know the perfect solution. It's rather, how do I get in relationship with people I think have something that they want solved? And just find out, start using language, see if it's a fit, start creating products and programs and services and see what appeals and what people will invest their heart and their money and their time in and so on. I love the way you pointed out that that's been a repeating cycle. That's what your business has been crafted around and validated by. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a constant listening, you know, listening to, you know, people think that you need to have, a gajillion customers to get started. But if you're working with one person, that one person can really give you the clues as to, you know, what other people need. And what's so neat, it's like, you know, for the same reason that we all fall in love with a particular movie, for example, it's because there's like universal themes in that movie that hits all of us to the core. And usually if one person is feeling something really strongly, there's other people out there that will fall into that market as well. So I think it's so important to really listen to whoever is in front of you at that moment, whether it's one customer, 10 customers, 30 customers, really listen.
I think it's become the biggest secret to building a successful business is this idea that it doesn't matter what you think you know, it's how do you go about finding out what your potential audience, your potential client, your potential customer might want. And you only find that out by engaging in conversation and, as you pointed out, listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's also interesting. One thing I want to say is, like, depending on where you are in your business, I also know that sometimes in those first few steps of your business, it's actually important to – it's hard to, like, listen because then I think sometimes we can get like over analytical about it, like, well, do they want this or do they want that? I do think that sometimes in the beginning stages of your business, it's important to just put stuff out there, whether you think they like it or not, like to clear your own self of what's on your own mind and like test it, you know what I mean? Like don't, because I think people could get caught in this sort of like testing phase where they're just asking and they're waiting to do something until they think they have the perfect solution. And I think you have to trust yourself that, like, okay, I've got some good ideas here. Let's put it out there. You know what I mean?
I'm
waiting.
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to what it is you pointed out about being an actress, which is that there's a lot of different ways to try a role. And it's how do you get as limber and flexible as possible and willing to try it from different angles. And that's one of the gems for people who are listening is as the owner of a business, as someone with an idea for a business, it's, as you just said, it's sort of practicing getting it out in different fashions, speaking it in different ways to see the reaction you get, trying on different wardrobe, you know, approaches, taking that idea out into the world in order to get it out of yourself rather than inside where there's such a tendency to, you know, practice until you've got something perfect, but it turns out you're practicing something that nobody actually wants to buy. You know?
Right, yeah, and you won't really find it until you put it out there. So that's a really important piece.
Yeah. You have this wonderful plan that you help people put together called the Sure as Hell This Is Going to Happen plan. Talk a little bit about that, because just the name itself is making me happy, you know?
Right. Well, I think, it's exciting when you have a plan. I mean, the biggest thing that I see with people, at least the people that I work with, is that, you know, there's something really cool that happens. There's like a brightness that comes into their eyes when when they take, you know, they have all these ideas coming around and all these things that they want to do. And when you start to talk to them and really hone in on what it is and they get really clear, there's like truly a brightness that comes to their eyes and they're like, oh my God, this is it. And I just think that when that clarity comes, first of all, it becomes easier to make it happen. I think a lot of times the most difficult part of making anything happen is because we're not really sure as to what it is we want. We're not really sure what the target is. And I think it requires a little bit of time to figure out what that target is. You know, it's not, you know, some people are blessed and they wake up in the morning and they're like, this is what I want. I know exactly what I want. But I would say most of us are not. Like, it takes some time to figure out what it is that we really want. And so the part of the, like, you know, this is we're going to make this happen plan is all about taking the time to really discover what it is that you want from, like, a values perspective and a feeling perspective and, you know, mixing that inner stuff that you're desiring and the outer stuff that you're desiring. So taking the time to get clear on that, and then you start to create that action plan around it. And then there's, like, the piece that I think is really important is that I like to play with in Magical Manifestors. Well, it's not just about, you know, taking action and taking action towards a thing, but it's also understanding, well, who do I need to become in order to have that thing that I want in my life? And if you look at that thing that you want, you know, let's say it's you want to be somebody who's making six figures plus a year, well, who do you have to become? Like, is that someone who takes risks? Do you need to increase your confidence? Do you need to increase your faith? And then how do you start even taking actions to grow your faith or taking actions to grow your confidence to become that more confident person? So it's really a layered thing, this plan, and it deals with both the inside and the outside stuff.
Very cool, making it practical in the world as well as doing the inner work all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So in the work that you're doing now, do you find yourself predominantly working with creatives, or are you working with people across the spectrum?
It's, you know, now it's really across the spectrum. When it started, it was mostly creatives because, you know, that's who I really identified with. And as the work has spread, in particular with Strength Session, with the workout, it's, you know, it's definitely, I have, when I teach at Crunch, a lot of those, the women who come there are in the corporate world. So, yeah, it's really across the spectrum, which is really fun. But I think it's, you know, it definitely is people who are willing to have that conversation of that, you know, that inner talk conversation. Some people don't even want to have that conversation. They don't even want to look at that part. They don't want to look within themselves. So, you know, it's somebody who's definitely interested in taking a look within themselves.
Very cool. Very cool. And so what I'd love to do is talk a bit about your journey in shifting from being – we'll say being it all, being everything. When you're in the role of dancer or actress, it's all embodied in you. To shifting to being someone who's designing, building, and running a business.
Mm.
So what were the steps, what were the various transitional steps that you took becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, one of the biggest ones was when I got to the place where I was like, okay, I've got this business and I'm, you know, I'm doing a good job and I'm, you know, I've been lucky with bringing in clients and making money from it. But I had this realization. I was like, I think there's business things that I need to learn that I don't know. So one of the first things was working with a coach, a business coach to start to help me organize some of my ideas in a more systematic way. And I think that's probably been the biggest thing over the course of the last few years is keep having mentors who are stronger in areas that I'm not, right? So the creativity part for me is quite easy. I can come up with products and ideas and designs till the cows come home. But I need a little extra push myself when it comes to creating systems or when it comes to, scaling your business and looking at the numbers of things. And so I've had to sort of strengthen that muscle myself in my own life. So I think for me, it's always been having really good, smart people around me that know how to do that stuff and that can teach me. And I think having a teacher and a coach is, like, so important. Oh, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am. There was
okay,
a sudden beep on my line. I apologize
okay.
to everyone for that.
No worries.
I was like, Wait a minute. One of my own systems broke down. I thought I had changed my phone line. And thank you so much for pointing out just how valuable in your journey it was to have mentors and coaches, because we all stand in our own blind spots. The example I so often use with my my folks is, you know, if you're a long jump athlete and not quite hitting the marks you want to hit, it's nearly impossible to both be in the zone doing the running and the leap off at the line. And you really need someone who's standing in a different angle of view from a different perspective who can say, oh, what you don't realize is right as you're taking off, your left foot is turned 10 degrees. You know,
I love that.
It's so enormously helpful. So I think in sports, in the arts, we're used to this idea of having a teacher, a coach, and so on. And it's so critical and so valuable in developing one's thinking and skills and talents to actually run a business.
Yeah, it's so important. It's funny you say that, because I was over the winter break, I went golfing with my dad, and my dad he's like obsessed with the sport. And I really haven't done much of it. I think up until that point I had gone on the golf course once. And it was such a joy to golf with him, because he knows so much. And it was so neat because I don't know anything about golf. So, like, he was able to, like, look at my swing and literally give me, you know, two or three things to think about, and suddenly I was hitting the ball beautifully. And golf is so hard, you know, it's so complex. And I mean, there's no way. It was a great reminder to me about this idea of having a coach or a teacher, because without him, without a teacher, without somebody looking at your swing, there's no way I would have been able to hit that ball. And you're right, I think that it's very easy to think about it in sports and in the arts, and I think when it comes to you know, business is a little bit harder, and it's very easy for your ego to get in the way too of like, oh, I know how to do this. And it can feel vulnerable to have somebody be like, well, actually you're not doing it right, you know? But it's like, I don't know how people get on without it really.
So I want to ask you, you know, this is that hidden secret question. Okay. So you're a creative type, but now you go into business and suddenly you have to pay attention to the numbers. How'd you make that transition?
That was really hard. I'll be honest. That was really hard. And the truth is, in the first few years, I didn't really even pay attention. I couldn't. It was too I couldn't really pay attention to the numbers too much. You know, the basic numbers I was able to pay attention to, but conversions and percentages, like, I didn't even touch that stuff, because I would just, I think that it would, at the time, it kind of freaked me out a little bit, and it made me feel self-conscious, and it made my brain work in a way that it wasn't used to working, and it kind of, in a way, took me out of, like, my own flow and my own excitement and my own enthusiasm. And, you know, maybe this is just my own experience, but I do think in the beginning it can be, depending on your personality type, I think it can be dangerous to get too deep into the numbers, because I think that in the beginning, when you're building something, you need so much passion and so much enthusiasm. Like, that is what is going to get your baby to run. And if there's anything that really dampers or takes away that passion or enthusiasm, then you got to kind of, I think, sort of stay away from it a little bit. Like, if there's a person in your life who's putting a damper on it, then that person needs to be at a distance. And so for me, when I would look at the numbers and stuff like that, it would, like, kill my passion and enthusiasm, because it just felt so overwhelming. And so I really couldn't look at it too specifically, too deeply. But I would say, like, in the last year and a half, because I feel like I've got this thing going, and my passion and enthusiasm is, like, just pulsing through it no matter what, it actually became really exciting for me to look at the numbers. It was, like, a new thing to learn, and I love to learn new things, and I think I was just ready to learn it, and I had, you know, I called in some really great teachers who could teach it to me in a way that I could understand it, and so now I kind of geek out on that stuff, and it's really fun in a way that before I wasn't ready to look at it, so that's my very personal experience, and my guess is that people who are, you know, kind of sensitive and coming from a creative perspective will probably be able to identify with that as well. So at some point, I think you need to look at it, but I would say if you're just getting started, I wouldn't worry too much about it. That I don't know if that's the best advice, but that's at least my experience.
I suspect you're right on one really important fundamental there, which is that as you're starting a business, there's so many moving parts that, and so much that's new. Or if you have an established business and you set a goal for yourself, for instance, to double the business, there can be so many challenges and moving parts to step into figuring out and solving that it's really important to figure out also how you carve out the time and keep carving out arenas where your attention can be on how do you stay inspired while you're mm-hmm. also back in beginner's mind in so many arenas.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is absolutely true. I think, you know, there are so many moving parts, and in the beginning you're pretty much doing everything yourself. And so you really can't do everything. You know, it's difficult. And I also think in the beginning you're kind of trying to figure out what your business is. You know, like, what is this that I'm doing? And the numbers don't really help tell you that. You know, it's the people, it's the interactions, it's the feedback that you get from reading, you know, the comments on your blog. Like, that's going to help you, I think, really hone in on what it is you're actually doing. So it's a little bit of a give and take, but I do think at some point it's really, really valuable. And I was really grateful because I, you know, had a couple people in my life that started pushing me in the last, like, year and a half. That's like, if you really want to grow, Erin, this is what you have to look at. And I remember feeling really resistant at the beginning because it was hard, because I was so used to being in that inspired creative space. And I remember feeling like contracted when I would talk about that. And it was kind of that thing that I mentioned about, like, well, who do I need to be to grow my business in the way that I grow? And what I discovered is, like, well, Erin, you have to be open to receive this kind of feedback. And you have to be willing to look at this part of your business if you really want to grow. So it was exciting, and now it's really fun.
And it was defining for yourself a new role to take on with a whole new mm-hmm. character to develop as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Which was fun.
Yeah, one
you know,
of the go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Just when you look at it from that perspective, like, okay, yeah, I'm taking on the new role, then it becomes fun. But you're not always ready for every role, you know, in your life. And it's like, even, you know, using this analogy as an actor, like, you know, the role that I could play now is very different than the role that I played when I was in my 20s. Like, you know, I'm, you know, more of a woman now, and I have a different perspective on life. So I would get cast in a different role today than I would have 10 years ago. And so it's all about being ready to take on that role in your business. You know, what are you ready for? Are you the new entrepreneur? Are you a little more seasoned, you know?
It's true. You know, there's a metaphor that I use with folks, which is all about learning to tap dance. And I find it's really effective when I'm talking with small business owners who, for instance, in working with numbers, feel instantly completely overwhelmed by a page filled with numbers. And it's like, okay, how do we chunk this down? You know, if you were learning to tap dance, nobody would expect you to be tapping and pirouetting across the room. We'd first be saying, okay, with your right foot, go out at a 45-degree angle and tap your big toe and bring your foot back. And let's just practice that for a while. And now with numbers, how about if we figure out one number that we're just going to watch for a while until it becomes familiar to you and so on. And then one at a time, add one next element at a time as your muscles in business start developing. So
that's great. I love that. That's such a great way of looking at it. Yeah.
You got that. So as you were creating and succeeding, there were a whole bunch of old ways of thinking about yourself and about this business that you were literally creating that you had to start dismantling and outgrow old ways of thinking and taking action. What are some of those things that you had to let go of?
I think a big one for me was because I'm, you know, sensitive and I really care so much about people having a good experience, and I want people to, like, you know, it's the people pleaser, right? I want people to like me, and I want people to like what I'm doing, and I want them to feel really good. I want them to feel so good. I want them to feel so incredibly loved when they come to Shrink Session or they do Magical Manifestors, or I want them to walk out of there feeling like they can do anything, you know? And because of that, I think in the beginning, I felt like I could only do that if I really spent a lot of time and energy with each individual person. You know, it was hard for me to see that. And when you do it like that, then you're limited, right? How much money you can make. You're limited how many people you can serve when you're really doing that sort of one-on-one exchange. And it was hard for me to imagine serving a lot of people because I was so afraid, but like, how are people going to feel really taken care of, you know, if there's so many of them? And that was like a big thing that I had to sort of open up to. And it was sort of like stepping into my own like greatness and my own knowledge that I could share something and it would affect many people, you know, that I didn't have to like look into one person's eyes. I could look out and many people could feel what I'm trying to say. So I think that was a really big thing that I had to transition just because I started out so small with this very intimate group. And I was like, how can this become bigger? I think that was like one of the biggest things that, and then I think there's also, I think what comes in with that is like, there's also a little bit of fear of like the bigger that you get, like, then you like don't know what everybody is thinking. Like when you have a small group, you're like, okay, these all people look like they're smiling. They're having fun. I'm good. Then there's like the fear, like, what if people don't like me? And what if all, you know, you get bigger and you have people, like, can you handle all of that? Can you handle all of that flow, that money, that income, that praise, that people who don't like you? Because the more people who like you, then there's going to be people who don't like you as well, the more you put yourself out there. So I think this idea of expanding my own sort of vessel to receive and to give was a big thing I had to work on.
And are there steps or techniques that you use that help you create that shift and that growth that are describable?
That's a good question. Specific steps.
Yeah, were there techniques or were there,
yeah,
you know, there's this world of affirmations, there's a world of personal practices for people to take on, and I'm curious if there were elements that you found useful, or was it having really concrete conversations with people who lived on the other side of the threshold, who were further down line in building a business?
Yeah.
What were the elements that were useful for you or helpful, or the handholds that helped you do that growth?
Well, you know, I'm obviously a huge fan of mantras. That's what Shrink Session is. You know, Shrink Session is a combination of cardio dance and kickboxing and yoga, and you're actually saying mantras out loud while you're moving. And it's really designed to get these words and these beliefs, not just into an intellectual state so that you're like, yeah, I'm strong enough, you know, but that it becomes a feeling in your body. So I think a lot of the mantras that I started to design for my classes were around my own expansion. And then I think, you know, I think some of it, too, was this practice of, like, one big mantra that was that people, like, still to this day love so much, and I love it, was just this really simple phrase of, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough every single day. And this idea that, like, you can go, for me, that I could go in and teach a class and end it and say goodnight and leave, that was enough. Like, no matter what happened, whatever transpired in that class, that was enough. And so I think focusing on really practicing, doing all these different practices of practicing my own enoughness, whether it was through mantras or journaling, one of my coaches that I've worked with, I work more sort of on the inner spiritual stuff. That was a theme that we worked on in many different forms. Over and over again. And so, you know, it was even a practice of like any time I would put something out there, like even a blog post, because I would like, you know, obsess about it, like, should I tweak this and should I tweak that? It was like hit send and then say, it's enough. That's enough. And any time I ended a meeting and walked away and started sort of spinning internally, like, did I say the right thing? Did I get my point across? That was enough. That is enough. You're enough. I think that is a really big practice that people can kind of take and practice on a regular basis.
That's really huge. Would you share the whole mantra again?
Yeah. I am enough. I have enough. meaning like what I have right here today, it's enough. So it kind of takes you out of that like, oh my God, I need to get more. This person has more. I don't have enough. I need more money. It's like right now today, I have enough. The money that's in my bank account, it's enough. The subscribers that I have, it's enough. The one customer that I have today, it's enough. So I have enough. And then we say, I do enough. So meaning at the end of the day, you look back, you reflect on your day, and you say, whatever actions I took today, it was enough. Maybe I only sent out one email. Well, you know what? For today, that's enough. So I do enough, and we say every single day, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough every single day.
Beautiful. I can
yeah,
see
it's a nice one.
Putting that in a really beautiful frame and having it, you know, the desk or the nightstand and just using it as, you know, part of a gratitude practice at the end of the day.
Yeah, because we really can spin, you know, out of control in our own minds of like, I'm not, you know, I didn't do it right. I'm not doing enough. Did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Am I taking the right actions? What am I supposed to do? And it really takes us out of our own power. And when you can kind of come back into yourself with this idea and this feeling of like, you know, it's enough. You actually, I almost like imagine like all of the power like comes right back to us. And when we're in that place of our own power and our own centeredness, that's when we come up with like our best and most genius ideas and plans and ideas for action. So you got to keep bringing that power back into you.
It's so true. And then in that space where we have that sense of wholeness and all of our power and our intelligence and our experience all present in that moment with us, that's the perfect time to say, okay, so if I want to grow this business to whatever its next level is, then what are the activities that it's time to start doing, or what are the things to continue doing, or what are the things that it's time to stop doing from a really centered place, a really balanced place.
Yeah, and I love that you said that. And it's, you know, I love that you said from that place you start to ask questions. Because it's one of the things, another, you know, practice that I'm thinking of that comes to mind that I give to all my students, and I do myself, I call it the soul stroll. And the soul stroll is about going out for a walk, you know, 20 minutes. You leave your cell phone at home. You don't talk on the phone. You don't text. You don't do anything. Maybe, you know, if you want to listen to music to help you get into it. But going out on that soul stroll is really about taking a little walk with yourself and asking yourself those questions. Like, what is the action that I'm supposed to do next? You know, who am I supposed to call? Who am I supposed to get in touch with? And the reason that soul stroll is so powerful, because I think there's something, you know, I always say, my thing that I always say is that when there's movement in your body, there's movement in your life. And I think there's something so powerful about, you know, you walking out on the earth and just getting movement a little bit in your body that you start to create and generate these new ideas. But as you said, it comes from this place of centeredness and power that you begin to ask these questions.
There's a practice that I've done for many years, which is a particular style of walking, which is one thought per step. And when I do labyrinth, I use it. And it's very much like you were just describing, that soul stroll, where you're just very present with your thoughts and with your movement. And it's a whole, it's really, it's beautifully described the way you said it. You know, it's a whole new conversation with yourself by walking away from technology and our chairs and our, you know, our square walls and getting outside where we're just us as beings with our thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so awesome. It's so magical. I'm always like, you know, I love the word magic, but because this is one of those things that I'm like, I'm always just like so amazed when you really let yourself, you know, move into that space, what ideas you can come up with. Like, I'm just so amazed what pops into my head in those moments. And I'm like, oh, my God, it was so magical. Where did that come from? You know? it's really cool when you let yourself find the wonder in it too, and then you like, you know, start to really trust what ideas come to you in those moments, and you trust that they're really, those are the ones, you know. It's exciting.
Right, we get to repartner with all of our inner workings and inner thoughts that are usually drowned out by our busyness and the noise and interruptions and distractions.
yeah, it becomes so clear, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting, and it's accessible to anyone. You know, I think that it's not just like oh, you know, people who are tapped in, or, you know, I think any of us can really tap into that. We've just got to carve out the space for it.
I love it. So nowadays, if people want to participate in a shrink session, what does that consist of, and you know, where can people find that?
Yeah, it's so now we have classes here in New York, and we'll be doing teacher trainings this year, so there'll be classes hopefully all over the country in the coming year. But then we have a really big online community, and there's videos, there's all different kinds of workouts. We've got short 5-minute workouts, we've got 20-minute workouts, we've got 45-minute workouts, there's meditations, there's coaching assignments, and essentially what the workouts are, as I said, they're a combination, a little bit of dance, a little bit of kickboxing, some yoga, and then these mantras that you're saying out loud while you're moving. And it's so powerful because, well, first and foremost, I love it because I get emails all the time from people who are saying, like, Erin, you're sneaky. I didn't even feel like I was working out for 20 minutes, and I'm so sore the next day. The reason for that is because what the workouts are designed to do really are to help get you out of your head. When I say that, I mean help get you out of your negative thinking and your negative cycles, because so many of us, when it comes to moving our bodies, have so many of these blocks, like you mentioned, you know, that come from a long time ago. Like a lot of times people will start moving and they're like, this hurts, it's painful, I'm not good at it, that girl's better, that guy's stronger. And really that holds us back from really getting truly into our bodies and into the moment, that negative self-talk and that conversation. So the mantras are designed to put another thought in your mind. And the truth is you can't, you know, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So it's not possible for you to think, I suck and I'm strong at the same time. And so we're giving you very clear and empowering thoughts to be saying and thinking while you're moving, so that you begin to create a new identification with movement in your body. So in the past, if you started to move your body and you're like, oh, this is hard, it hurts, now we're teaching you to say, like, while you're moving your body, you're like, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I have enough, I do enough. And so it's amazing because, you know, now there's, like, scientific studies done that the power of mantras can really affect your endurance and how long you can go and your own strength. And that's what the workouts do. And so it's just so great because people, you know, will come and they're like, I never enjoyed working out before, Erin. Never, ever, ever. And this is the most fun I've had. And I think it's because they're getting out of their own way, frankly. And I make it fun and playful. But I think a lot of it is they're getting out of their own way.
Beautiful. And, of course, if you get out of your own way when you're in the gym, both in body, mind, and the thoughts that are running through your head get replaced, then when you go take your shower and put on your clothes and walk back out into the world, then you're wired differently for who you are in the rest of your life as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I try to teach in shrink session is, like, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So how you approach a challenge in your life is how you approach a challenge any part of your life. But that even comes down to working out. So what happens when you're doing a workout and something gets hard? Do you go into complaining? Do you go into self-criticism? Do you go into blaming somebody, the teacher, like, this class sucks, you know? And so most likely when you're in a challenge, you will probably find that how you do your challenge when you're working out is how you do your challenge in your real life. So what happens when you're doing a workout, instead of when it gets challenging, you complain or criticize yourself or blame, you really get into this place of, I am powerful. This is an opportunity. I'm getting stronger with each and every moment. I guarantee that you'll start to approach the challenges in your life differently, which is really exciting.
Oh, yeah, very cool, very cool. So as
Hi, Erin, this is Gina. Sorry, Linda.
No, come on in.
I just wanted to say that, you know, this everything you're sharing is really what I lump together as mindset. And in my opinion, it's one of the most overlooked pieces of training for small business owners and entrepreneurs. Mindset is critical. If you get the mindset piece right, you can mess up pretty much everything else and still get huge results. But the opposite is also true. get everything else done perfectly, get the mindset piece wrong, and you almost always get nowhere. So I'm really thrilled to hear some of what you've suggested, because it is so critical to success in building a business.
Absolutely. Yeah. It absolutely
Go ahead, Linda.
And when you look at anybody who's, you know, been really successful, whether it's in sports or in acting or in business, you know, and you talk that you get into the mindset, you see that they have a mindset of success. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Go ahead, Linda.
And in your role now in being the leader of your business, what are some of the new mindsets that you've taken on purely as the leader, not actually being the dance instructor or the coach standing next to somebody in a particular class? What is it that you've taken on in terms of mindset and practices that are strengthening you as the leader of the business?
Well, I think having a mindset of, I like to keep the mindset of being generous and kind, because I think that's like the most important, for me, that's the most important thing in business. Like if you treat people kindly, it's amazing how they respond. You could really screw something up, but if you're kind and generous, like overly generous with them, you'll keep customers coming back. So that's like a really important mindset. Like, you know, even when somebody sends me an email and they're like pissed off because they couldn't log in or, you know, I don't know, whatever you get a lot of stuff coming your way, I always try to take a moment and be like, you know, that's okay, but like how can we respond to them with love and kindness and generosity? How can we transform even their feelings in the moment? How can we make them feel loved and feel happy? So I think that's a big one for me. And then, you know, a big one for me is like keeping in the mindset of, for me this year in particular, is about my word for the year is expansion, and how can I continue to expand and grow in new ways? What will that require me to be? And so I'm always looking for opportunities to, you know, to expand, and you got to be open and invite that in. And that, you know, when something, I was telling my class last night that, you know, one of the poses in yoga that I don't ever like to do is a back bend, because it's painful and it hurts. And so I like skip it. I don't even do it most of the time. I'm like, I did the rest of the class. I'm good to go. And, you know, this year it sort of, I think the back bend relates very much to expansion, because it's like that extension, that opening, and it's going to, the back bend requires me to like work on things in a new way that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable. And so I think this idea of being willing to be uncomfortable is also really important.
I'm now going to be carrying the image of doing yoga back bends as the metaphor for growing in leadership.
I think so. Or even if it's not a back bend, but what I think could be really interesting is like, is there, you know, I always like to relate things to the physical body, but like, is there a pose, you know, or a physical thing that you don't like to do, that you just won't do? Like, is it running? Is it a dance class? Is it a back bend? And does that relate to any of your own blocks that you have in your business, that you avoid in your business? I think it's a really neat thing to look at.
And now that you're an online business, that means you've added a whole bunch of other aspects, elements of your business that have to be designed and executed and managed. And how are you doing that? Are you the one who's been learning each step of the way, or have you built a team around you?
Both. I am a little bit like controlling in that. I just like to know. I like to learn things and I like to know. So I do know how every element of the online runs, from like the membership program to my email marketing system. Like I know my email marketing system. I can't believe how well I know it because it's so complex. But I took the time to learn that just because, I don't know, I'm not saying this is necessary for everyone, but for me, I felt like I needed to know that before I asked somebody else to do that, and I needed to understand what the problems could arise, what those might be. So I do know a lot of that, and now I also have a team. I have a really great assistant who I, you know, train to learn all the technical stuff as well. And I think, you know, now as my business is really growing to new levels, I obviously do less of that technical stuff. But I certainly know how it works. I definitely, there's certain things that, like, now I just send everything to that assistant because you know, at some point you can't do everything. And I have to save my energy for the creative stuff, for the stuff that I know that I'm really good at. And now I, you know, it's worth it for me to hire someone to do some of that other stuff. But still,
and now you know,
it's important to know it.
Right, absolutely. And now you know the role you're asking someone else to assume and the responsibility you're handing off and how to monitor how successfully they're performing those roles and those activities. So it's exactly, you know, from my frame of reference, it's exactly the right way to grow and develop as a manager and as a leader and grow the business. So very
yeah,
cool.
And it's not easy to learn all that technical stuff. It's kind of like what I said when the, you know, creative person doesn't want to learn the technical stuff. But I don't know. I think it makes me feel more empowered in my business to know how everything's actually working. And it also helps me support, as you said, support the team members. So I can be like, okay, I think I know how to troubleshoot this. We can troubleshoot this together because at least I know, have context as to where the problem is.
Right, right. Very true. So the shrink session is now online, and the easiest way for people to go experience that if they're around the world, which is the joy of technology nowadays, is for them to just go to the site itself?
Yeah, go to shrinksessionworkout.com, and you'll see there's a bunch of, you know, videos that you can watch, and if you you can sign up to get a free workout so you can try it. We give you a quick, free, really fun 5-minute workout. The 5-minute workouts are amazing. It's amazing what you can shift in 5 minutes. I mean, truly, truly remarkable and outstanding. So, yeah, come on over there, get your free workout. You can learn more about the program. And as I said, there's just, like, this amazing, amazing growing community. And we're starting to create challenges each month so that you can keep accountable to your workout. So you've got this community to stay accountable so that you're actually, you know, the goal for me is to get people moving their bodies on a regular basis from a place of, you know, joy and love and feeling good in their bodies. And so we give you schedules of how you can move your body, and we're going to start to introduce food and diet as well. There's the mindset piece. So it's a whole big program. It's really affordable, and we make it really fun.
Well, I know I'm going to be going over there.
Yeah, come check it out.
Just the description that you gave before of both moving and doing the mantras at the same time is like, yeah, somebody figured it out, you know. And it's not in Sanskrit. It's in English.
Right. So they're like, you know, intellectual concepts that you understand, but you're putting them into your body, and that's just like, you know, I mean, it's so cool. It's so amazing to see the shifts that people get and how quickly they get it. It's really awesome.
Very cool. So as the business grows, as technology grows, as everything expands, and now you're online, what's your vision for what it is that you want to create with the shrink session and the workouts?
Yeah, well, my vision, you know, keeps getting bigger, and that's cool and exciting. As I said, this year is all about growing it so that there's actually more people, you know, around the country teaching the workouts in different facilities throughout the country, because now there's all these great pop-up fitness studios. So that's one of the big visions, is that we've got, you know, a whole team of teachers who are spreading the good word. And then the idea is to continue to grow this online community, you know, so that there are, you know, several thousands of people doing the workouts. And we're working on, you know, a membership site so that people are getting new workouts on a regular basis. So that's one of the big visions. And, to continue this year to grow sort of in the media presence as well, we've got some really exciting projects coming up. I'm doing something with Chris Carr later in the year, which will be really fun, and something with the Tapping Solution, which I'm really excited about, with Jessica Ortner, has a beautiful book coming out on weight loss and body confidence. So I think that there'll be more videos with different, some co-branded stuff with different companies, and that's one of the big goals for the year, is more co-branded content.
Very cool. So creating strategic alliances in order to broaden your reach and create the more complex and more comprehensive programs.
Yeah, and I would love to get Shrink Session. I mean, right now, you know, it's in crunch, which is a very, you know, it's not everywhere in the country, but I would love to partner with a really exciting, well-known corporate brand this year to bring Shrink Session to more of their people as well. So we're looking for those opportunities now, too.
Very cool. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you, I look forward to it, and I will be online using the shrink session myself.
Awesome. Yeah, please do. Let me know.
Same here. If I can help you connect with anybody, just let me know.
Thank you so much. Oh, I really, really appreciate that. That's so generous and kind. Thank you.
Well, Erin, thank you so much for coming and sharing both the journey from your own passion into business as well as the crafting of the business itself, and wishing you all best success with the shrink session workout. And I invite everyone to come back again next week for our next episode of Breakthrough Directions.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.